Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, The Deliverance of the Amala Arjun Trees, really, texts 30-31. Tvam Eka Sarabhutanam Dehasvatmendriyaishvaraha Tvam Eva Kala Bhagavan Vishnur Avyaya Ishvaraha Tvam Your Lordship Eka One Sarabhutanam Of all living entities Deha Of the body Asu Of the life force Atma Of the soul, Indriya, of the senses, Ishvaraha, the super soul, Tvam, your lordship, Eva, certainly, Kala, the time factor, Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, all pervading, Avyaya, imperishable, Ishvaraha, the controller. Translation in very small purport. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything. The body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self. You are the Supreme Person. Vishnu, the imperishable controller. You're the time factor, the immediate cause, and you're the material nature, consisting of the three modes, passion, goodness, and ignorance. You're the original cause of this material manifestation. You're the super soul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the heart of every living entity. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya is quoted from the Vamana Purana as follows. And then there's the Sanskrit. Rupa vatu jagat rupam Vishnu sakshat sukhatmakam nitya purnam samudishtam srupam paramatmanaha. I guess you probably figure we all know the Sanskrit. So. No need for translation. It's something about rupa yavat. You're the form of the entire you're the form of the creation. The creation is your form. Vishnu shakshat sukhatmakam. And Vishnu is the same as you, sukhatmakam. And you're the happiness of the living entity. Nityapurnam. You're eternally full. Samudishtam, as deep as the ocean. Sarupam Paramatmana, and your form, your all pervading is the super soul, your form. Any questions? Comments? Let's try. We'll read a little bit more. Oh Lord, you exist before the creation. Therefore, who, trapped by a body of material qualities in this material world, can understand you? Purport. As it is said, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabravet Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Ijivado Swayam Eva Sparatida. Krishna's name, attributes, and form are absolute truth, existing before the creation. Therefore, how can those who are created, that is, those entrapped in bodies created of material elements, understand Krishna perfectly? It is not possible. But sevan mukhe hi jivado swayam eva sparatyada. Krishna reveals himself to those engaged in devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 18:15. by the Lord himself, Bhaktimam Abhijanati. Even the descriptions of Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam are sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men with a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, the best course by which to know him is to engage oneself in pure devotional activities. The more one advances in devotional activities, the more one can understand him as he is. If from the material platform one could understand Krishna, then since Krishna is everything, sarvam kal vidam brahma, one could understand Krishna by seeing anything within this material world. But that is not possible. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagara vyaktamurtina matstani sarabhutani nachaham te shivashtitaha. Everything is resting on Krishna, and everything is Krishna. This is not to be realized by persons on the material platform. Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyascha smitattvataha tatomam tattvato gyatva vishyate tad anantaram. That one can understand me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by devotional service, and when one is, what is the word? Bhakti mama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tatomam. When understands me as he is, then he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Bhakti mama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. 55. One is full conscious of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So this is one of the verses that's repeated twice in Bhagavad Gita. Another time in the 11th chapter. Bhakti Twanya Sakya Aham Evam Vidorjana Gyatvam Drastum Tritatvena Praveshtum Chaparandapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can it be understood as I am, standing before you, can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So Krishna consciousness is a mystery, even to those who are practicing it. It's still a mystery. We wonder, what does Krishna look like? What does a person who has unlimited beauty look like? It's a mystery, isn't it? What a person who knows everything, can you ask him any question, he can give you the answer? Does he have to look it up on a computer? Does he even know my name? You see Krishna and say, Krishna, who am I? Krishna says, what do you think? Your last name is Das or Dasi, right? that's correct. So it's a mystery who Krishna is and what our relationship with is. We don't even know who we are. That's a mystery too. Am I a gopi? Am I a gopa? Am I a cow? Karova, and maybe I'm a blade of grass somewhere. We don't know who we are. We don't even know what the spiritual world is like. There's so many things we don't know. But we're pretty much proud that we know so many things. But everything we know is usually wrong. We think we know. Therefore, only by devotional service can gradually we get two things. Freedom from ignorance and some experience of what spiritual life is like. A little bit. But if we think we've understood it, then we have to question, am I actually completely free from all anxiety? Am I free from all ignorance? Do I know who I am? Do I know my spiritual identity? If not, we're only getting a very small little taste. Because if Krishna gave us the full taste of Krishna consciousness, if Krishna revealed himself, then we'd have to love everyone. But we don't want to love everyone. Because if we saw everyone as superior to us, then what would happen to our false ego of feeling good about ourselves? If we were actually Krishna conscious, and everyone we saw is our worshipful object of service, then I'd feel quite humble. But no one came to the material world to feel humble. Everyone came here to develop their pride. I may be small, but I'm mighty. I may be small, but I'm beautiful. And even if I can't expand my small little tiny self so much, because I'm only 1/10,000th the size of Dipper in size, I can live a life of imagination in 8,400,000 species of life, imagining myself to be great and wonderful. And if no one else loves me, then at least my worshipful object is my body, and my false ego tells me I am the body and how wonderful I am because I have this body. And therefore I can take satisfaction. No one loves me, but I love my body. No one knows me except for Krishna, but I don't believe in Krishna, so no one knows me. Only I know myself. But I've manifested myself in terms of this body, and I want to get people to love the body and serve it and appreciate it, so that way I'll feel good that I've done something valuable to the world. I've manifested through my false ego this body to save everyone. Give them an object of love except for outside of Krishna. So that's the temp in the material world. It presents our false ego, the manifestation of our false ego, and get others to love and appreciate and worship it so that they can make some progress, becoming just like I am. Just like they can manifest their false ego on the same level as mine and therefore make progress in the world. But it's all imagination because we're not the body, we're not even the false ego. It's just false. And therefore everyone is underdeveloped in the material world. Their potential is practically zero. Now they have a potential, but they're underdeveloped. So you can tell people in book distribution, this book will help you develop your full potential. We know you have unlimited potential, I could tell. And this book will help you develop it unlimitedly. So that's fact. Everyone has unlimited potential. They're just underdeveloped, that's all. And we're trying to help them develop it. And that's how we develop our potential, by helping others develop their potential. And their real potential is manifested. Always, they're underdeveloped in the relation with Krishna. Therefore, they're underdeveloped in the relation with everyone and everything. Because as it says here, Krishna is everything and everyone. Everything and everyone is expansion of Krishna. And if one becomes developed in the relationship with Krishna, then one develops a relationship with everyone and everything. Just like the wives of the Yajna Brahmins, they left and the husband, well, they left to bring Krishna and Balaram and the coward boyfriend some prasadam. And they came into the forest of Vrindavan with Krishna, and the coward boys were herding cows. And they took Krishna within their hearts and embraced him. They couldn't physically embrace him because Krishna follows the etiquette, even in Vrindavan, this etiquette, and he follows it because he's a coward boy, and it would be rasa-basa for coward boys to embrace Brahmin's wives. It would be really scandalous. Did you hear what Krishna did yesterday? I can't believe it. he's reached the lowest point of his rasa. No, but they could take him into his heart. No one could stop that, because that's not on the Bali platform. So the Brahmin's wives, they embrace Krishna within their heart, so that's on the spiritual platform. That's allowed. Just like when the gopis went out to dance with Krishna, then they didn't go in their material bodies, they went in their spiritual bodies. Their material bodies were still with their husbands. So everyone is eternally a servant of Krishna. So when the gopis went to dance with Krishna in their spiritual body, no one can criticize Krishna, because that's an eternal relationship. And their material bodies, which supposedly belong to their husbands, were actually still with their husband, because the gopis didn't go in their material bodies. And it is said that even if someone accused Krishna as dancing with other people's wives, the fact is that everyone belongs to Krishna. And therefore, even the wives belong to Krishna. So actually, the people who are married to the gopis are immoral, because they're married to Krishna's wives. In any case, the yogic Brahmin's wives, they went into the forest, and they wanted to stay there under the protection of Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna told them to go back home. But the wives said, well, we can't go back home because we've already left our homes. And at least in that Veda culture, if a woman was out of their house even for a night, then it would be very scandalous if they left their husbands, their protection. So Krishna said, don't worry about it. Because you're dedicated to me, therefore everyone will be appreciative of you. So indeed, when the yogic Brahma's wives went back to their homes, their husbands greeted them and appreciated them even more that they had left and they had joined Krishna. They had reached the perfection of their life, and therefore the Brahmins were very careful in dealing with the wives from then on. So it is not that if one takes shelter of Krishna, he loses anything. Of course, Prabhupada also said, if you become a pure devotee, everyone will become your enemy. Because everyone in the material world sees Krishna as their enemy. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesha tasya ishadabhatasya vipariyo smriti. As soon as one comes to the material world, instead of seeing Krishna as the object of service, one sees Krishna as the competitor. And therefore one is constantly trying to get rid of Krishna in the material world, in material consciousness. Aspiring devotees, they struggle to try to appreciate Krishna, try to surrender to him, but at the same time they get sometimes deviated from Maya and they become a little resentful. Why am I not Krishna? Why couldn't I have been born Krishna like Krishna was born Krishna? Why wasn't Mother Jasoda my mother? I could have been born God. Am I eternally going to be so small? This is embarrassing. I deserve more. So, this is the illusory energy, and one thinks that if I develop my relationship with Krishna, then I'll become just an ordinary servant like everyone else is. I got to be more than that. But in the spiritual world, everyone wants to become a servant of Krishna. Even Krishna, when he saw his reflection in Dwarka on the marble, he said, who is this beautiful person? He said, I want to become like Srimati Radharani so I can embrace him. So Krishna saw his own image and wanted to become a servant of his own image. So everyone in the spiritual world is trying to become God. The servant of God, and here, including God. And here, everyone's trying to become God. That's the difference. Spiritual world, everyone's trying to become Krishna's servant, and here, everyone's trying to become Krishna. Therefore, only by trying to become Krishna's servant can we get out of illusion and understand the things properly. Other things may help us progress towards that platform, But ultimately, unless one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, one is, especially in this age, one is certainly in ignorance. But still, we encourage people, if they're making some progress towards becoming, accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's very good. People who believe in God at least have an opportunity to believe in Krishna. But amazing how people believe in God and they know nothing about him. Isn't that amazing? All they know is that sometimes they think he was the Son of God and he got nailed to a cross. Our God doesn't get nailed to a cross. Nor does he suffer. So their conception of God is rather ghastly. In order to save everyone, he has to be tortured. What kind of God is that? He may be compassionate, but he's not very powerful. On the other hand, without knowing Krishna, I mean the simple thing that Krishna is full of all opulence, how could God be something other than a person full of all opulence? How could he not be a person? And how can he not be full of opulence? If he wasn't full of opulence, then how could he be God? If he wasn't very strong, my grandmother would be more of a God than... Only if he's unlimitedly strong and beautiful and intelligent and famous, renounced, and wealthy, could he actually become God? Could be God. And who else except for Krishna, who appeared 5,000 years ago to display his pastimes, where else do they even mention such a person? Who else is Krishna's competitor who's claiming they're unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly wealthy or wise or strong? Now, we may not know Krishna, but at least theoretically we have to accept that such a person would be God and such a person must exist. And at least in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims he's God, and the process of realizing him would be the same whether Krishna was God or not, to surrender to the Supreme. Now, who else has given us the process of surrendering? Chanting his name, one can experience by chanting Krishna's name that there's different. Otherwise, what other sound vibration can we chant? It's probably just to say water, 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 water. Try a round of water. You go water, glubjamin, water, glubjamin, 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 water, water. And see how much you're satisfied. And then when someone comes, are you thirsty? No, and I chanted 16 rounds of water. I'm completely full. Glubdum is, oh my God, I chanted too many glubdums today. No, if we chant Hare Krishna, we can experience right away there's something. It changes our consciousness that we pay half attention. Similarly, if one is doing devotional service, one will find himself, it's always fresh. Nitya, nitya, yama, navanya. Nitya, nitya, nava, navanya. It's always fresh. Like we can read Bhagavad Gita again and again. It's always fresh if we read it with the right attitude. So it's different. So there's so many things that can encourage us on the path if we are willing to be encouraged on the path. And if we want to become discouraged on the path, Maya is there for us too. We want to, the simple things, the simple process of hearing, chanting about Krishna's service. If we get a little too uneasy that I'm going to become a servant of God eternally, I didn't come here to become a servant of God, let me give it one more chance, the material energy. See if I can be happy here. And if not, then I'll take shelter of Krishna again. In one of the 8,400,000 species of life. So, the point is, if we enter into Krishna's mysteries, then we'll realize Krishna, the source of everything, and we'll see everyone and everything in relation to Krishna, and we'll be in love with everyone and everything. As we're in love with Krishna, we won't see anything as different from Krishna. And therefore, we'll actually be peaceful and happy, because if you're in love and you're in ecstasy and you look around and you see your worst enemy, and you say, you rascal. You're back. A different state of consciousness, then the material world is not going to be a very nice place to be. You can, oh my God, my worst enemy is coming, let me avoid him. I'm going to fall into Maya. No, no one's the enemy, no one's a friend. Everyone is Krishna's servant on the spiritual platform, and everyone is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. Sukham, purna sukham sukhayate. Everything becomes full of happiness. And one's life is actually successful. Except for that, then we're just torturing ourselves, because consciously or unconsciously, but we should understand that the way out of it is just to improve our devotional service. Chant our rounds better, spend more time in devotional service during the day, organize our life so that we're doing something meaningful for Krishna. And then the result will be that we'll make some progress, and three things: we'll see everyone in relation and everything in relation to Krishna more clearly. We'll actually have a better relationship with everyone and everything. And the things that will bewilder us and draw our minds away from Krishna, we're not so much interested in them anymore. We don't have such a taste for them as we used to. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone.
I was thinking about this, that I think the minimum qualification to go back, to the spiritual world is on the level of bhava.
Prema. Bhava will get you probably in Krishna's Voma Lila pastimes, to get trained up, to come to the platform of Prema.
Yeah, so when the Lord appeared on earth and he was performing his pastimes here, so there were also many devotees who participated in his whole pastime. So in that sense, those devotees were also actually getting trained.
Not all of them. There are different types of devotees came. Nitya Siddha devotees came. Sadhana Siddhas came, Bhava, devotees on the Bhava platform, different kinds of devotees joined Krishna's pastimes. Demigods from the higher planetary systems joined, demons joined, everyone got together. It was a big reunion. Many different people came. But those who were on the Bhava platform, they got trained up by the Nitya Siddhas. Come to the Prema Bhakti platform, and therefore they became. And then when they come to the Prema Bhakti platform, then they get trained up to personally serve Krishna directly.
So there are those who are on the platform of Bhava, those who also enter the pastimes of the Lord in the level of Bhava. So they were like you said, they are trained by Nitya Siddha, so they were put in a position. It's all in a relationship with Krishna in such a way that they were, under their guidance, and they were actually trained by.
First, they get trained before they get Krishna's personal association. You don't go and, personally serve Krishna and spill the monk's dal soup on him. Sorry, Krishna, I'm just being trained. No, you have to be. First, you're given the association. For instance, if you're a Manjari, then first you're given the association of Rupa Goswami and Rati Manjari. They're given the association, and then they train you. And then eventually, or Rupa and Sanatan, first you're given the associate, and then they train you to work under the guidance of one of the Astasakis. And then they further train you to assist one of the Mundris, such as Rupa Goswami, when they're serving. You act as an assistant. And after you get trained up, then you can directly serve them. There's a whole training. You have to, it's subtle, but it's a different level of training. Here we think, you know, put the fork on the left side or something. There it's all being trained on rasa, on feelings, which manifest themselves in practical activities too. It's not like you just sit there and feel. But the feelings manifest itself in service, and everything there is spiritual. So it's your servant, you're using everything and assisting them in their service to Krishna. You're simply the servant of Krishna's service. Anything else? All right. Khala Grantarashma Bhagavatam Kijai.